mother tells this self-revealing story about herself. She says, "When my child was 6 months old, I re-entered the workforce. I was anxious about how I would juggle the morning chores, feeding and dressing the baby and myself, packing a lunch in the baby's bag, dropping her off at daycare, and still getting myself to work on time. One frantic morning, I strapped the baby in the car seat and pulled out of the driveway 10 minutes ahead of schedule. I was so excited. 'Mommy is so efficient,' I happily told my little girl. My smugness disappeared, though, a few blocks later when I looked down and realized I was still wearing my bathrobe." Oops. Mothers do a lot. A lot. And we need to recognize them and appreciate them so much more than we do. The Bible commands us to recognize and appreciate our moms. Exodus 20, we find the Ten Commandments. In verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And we compare that to Ephesians 6, verse 1. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Jesus, of course, set the example for us because he did it himself. He lived, we think, to be about 33 years old, and we believe that he spent at least 30 of those years in his hometown. It's interesting, about the time when Jesus starts his ministry, and he does that miracle at that wedding in Cana when he turns the water into wine. We find Mary's there. His brothers and sisters are there. He's there. His disciples are all invited to this wedding, but there's no Joseph. And it appears that somewhere, sometime, we don't know, but Joseph must have died because Joseph just disappears. So we would assume that during those 30 years, he was at home for a reason. He was taking care of his younger brothers and sisters. He was also taking care of his mother. And then, of course, on the cross, remember on the cross, he's hanging there and he says to John, you know, "Take care of my mother." So the whole time he's thinking, you know, about his mom. We have the fifth commandment, honor your parents, and he practiced it. And he expects you and I to practice it as well. So as I think this morning about a mother's virtues, I'm impressed by the power of a mother's presence. Her presence, just being there. And it is so critical to us as families. I've got a couple books. Maybe you've seen these. I just got them recently. They're written by James Dobson from Focus on the Family. The first one he wrote is Bringing Up Boys. And then he wrote one, Bringing Up Girls. And I find these fascinating and so helpful. I wish I had them 25 years ago. Very helpful stuff, and I want to share some thoughts from there that I learned this week, thinking about motherhood. In there, here's how Dobson describes a mother. She must be a resident psychologist, physician, theologian, educator, nurse, chef, taxi driver, fire marshal, and once in a while, police officer. And if she succeeds in each of these responsibilities, she gets to do it all over again tomorrow. Wow, how important our moms are to us. And then he writes, God made them good at what they do. God made them good at what they do. A mother's presence, just being there, is especially vital, he says, during your child's first 3 years of life. He said those first 3 years of life, as you're being, you know, your mind is developing and so on, your emotions, your personality, your character is developing, he says, are vital. And he says it's absolutely vital that mom is there. Dad too, but especially mom during those first 3 years. And then he says researchers at Harvard University, they did a study that took 2,000-3,000 men in college, college-age men. And he found that this early bonding during those first 3 years, this early bonding, or they call it attachment, is vital. Here's what he says. Here's what they found at Harvard University. 91% of the college men who said they did not enjoy a close relationship with their mother developed, now listen to this, coronary artery disease, hypertension, ulcers, and alcoholism by the time they were 50. Wow. See that? These are college men who did not have that close relationship with mom. By the time they're in midlife, by the time they're 50, they've got heart disease, high blood pressure, ulcers, and they're alcoholics. Oh my word, never realized that. And then he says, that was 91%, 100% of them, like the whole group, in one way or another, all of them had serious health problems by the time they were 50. All of them did. And he concludes that, Dobson writes, he says, when certain needs are not met in infancy, trouble looms down the road. The presence of a mom. I'm also impressed with a loving mother's use of her time. Use of her time. Many of us know, how does a child spell love? T-I-M-E. Time. Time. Effective mothers know how to manage their time. I'm amazed how you manage your time. Amazed. Dobson says in the research that moms can actually prevent harmful behaviors just by spending time with their children. He says moms can actually prevent harmful behaviors such as violence, suicide, drug abuse, early sexual behavior, and teen pregnancy by spending time with their children. And then he says they have found that there are four times during the life of a child when the presence of mom is vital, is key. Maybe you know, I never knew this, but I think it makes sense to me. But he says those four times a day are early morning, after school, dinner time, and bedtime. Four times during the day when moms and dads, but mostly moms, when their presence is vital to a child. My mother, I remember so well, my mother worked every day in the house and out of the house. As far back as I can remember, though, my mother made breakfast for my sister and I every day. She would get us up, get us ready for school, serve breakfast, get us on the school bus, and then leave for work. And she did it, well, as long as I from. You know, when I was in first grade, right through my senior year in high school, she did it every single day. Now, after school was different. She wasn't home, you know, from work. My dad and mom were both working. So after school, we went to grandma's house after school because nobody was home. So we went to grandma's house. But I also remember we always, not besides breakfast, but we always ate supper together at the dinner table. Even when I was off doing basketball practice and track practice and, you know, all that kind of stuff happens. We didn't have supper until everybody was home. No matter what time it was, supper was served when we were all home together. And we ate around the dinner table. And then I remember, too, every night my mom tucked us into bed. Now, I don't remember how I felt about that when I was a senior. But the idea is there that she was always there. Always tucked us in. We'd pray together and she'd tuck us in. I don't know how she did it. I have no idea how she did it. But she did. And I'm so grateful. And I'm not saying that with you this morning, saying, my mom's perfect. What's the matter with you? No, 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 no. We are so busy. It is unbelievable. I know how busy we are. And all the things. And especially if you're a single mother, especially. Wow. How in the world do you do it? But somehow you do. And I think even though those four critical times, even if we could do our best to be there at one of them, one of the four, you know, consistently, that makes a difference in your child. Tremendous difference. But just as food for thought, how does that play out in your life and, you know, in our life, and how can we make those things happen? Everybody's different. But research showed those four times. I found that very, very interesting. But for single moms, you know, bringing up children by yourself must be at times absolutely overwhelming. It has to be. And my heart goes out to you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I want to, you know, give you hope. I think it'd be really good for us as a church, for us as a church family, to have a serious discussion about how we can help single parents. We're part of their family too. How can we help single parents? And then not just, you know, not just talk about it, but then do something about it. You know, turn our talk into action. I think that it'd be good for all of us to do something like that. I say all this again, moms, you're so important. I want you to know how important you are, how much we need you. Whether you are married or single, we need you desperately. So I stand here today impressed by the power of a mother's presence, just being there. I'm impressed with a loving mother's use of her time. It's amazing how you juggle all that stuff. And I'm so impressed with a mother's commitment to prayer. To prayer. Again, in my experience for my mom, especially now I've noticed, more so than I think than when I was growing up, that for my mom right now, prayer to her is as natural as breathing. It's just, every time I talk to her, well, we'll pray about that. Let me pray about that. When you pray with her and hear my mom pray, I am so humbled. It's powerful. And it's also intimate. You'd think my mom and Jesus know each other. Oh, mom, keep praying. And to you, moms, keep praying. We need it so badly, so badly. Every day, my mom prays for her family, for her church, and you know what? She prays for you. My mom and dad get the lamplighter in the mail. Every time they go over the prayer list, the prayers and concerns, the lamplighter, and you are prayed for. And my mom will call, how you doing, da, 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 and she'll say, oh, I read in the lamplighter, so-and-so's in the hospital, how they doing? Every time. Thank you, Mom. She prays for you, too. I didn't know I had so many brothers and sisters. I guess I do. And that's okay. But she prays for all of us. For all of us. An effective, loving mother spends time on her knees in prayer. Why? Well, I think it's because you know you can't do it all without God's help. You got to have Him. You need Him, and you know, and the Lord blesses you. He blesses you with all kinds of strength and energy and wisdom. Ever hear of D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody, back in the 1800s, world-famous evangelist. Moody Bible College in Chicago, he founded it. But story about, his name is Dwight. D stands for Dwight. Dwight Moody's father died when Dwight was only 4 years old. His father died. A month later, Mrs. Moody gave birth to twins. When he died, she was already pregnant. She gave birth to twins. So now she has 9 children, all by herself. 9 mouths to feed and no income whatsoever. He says merciless creditors dogged the widow, claiming everything they could get their hands on. And as if Mrs. Moody didn't have enough troubles, her eldest son later runs away from home. But certain that her son will return, Mrs. Moody placed a light for him in the window every single night. Young Dwight was inspired by her faith and her prayers. Later on, Dwight wrote these words about his mom. He said, I can remember how eagerly she used to look for tidings of that boy, how she used to send us to the post office to see if there was maybe a letter from him. Some night when the wind was howling and the house would be... And the house would tremble at every gust of wind. The voice of my mother was raised in prayer for that brother of mine, that wanderer, he called him. And Dwight tells us her prayers were answered. Her prodigal son did eventually return. And Dwight says, I remember, he says, well, my mother was sitting at the door. A stranger was seen coming toward the house. And when he came to the door, he stopped. My mother didn't know that it was her son. He stood there with folded arms and a great beard flowing down from his breast, tears trickling down his face. Excuse me. When my mother saw that those tears, she cried, "It's my son, it's my lost son." And they begged him to come in, but he stood still. And here's what his brother said. "No, mother, I will not come in until I hear first that you will forgive me." Mrs. Moody was only too willing to forgive. She rushed to the door, threw her arms around him. And Dwight says the prodigal found forgiveness. Forgiveness. The prayers of a mom for her children. Mom, thanks for your prayers. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers. We got to have them. We got to have them. We need them so bad. And children, let's not forget to pray for our moms. Let's not forget to pray for them, to be a prayer warrior for our moms. I want to close with a thought here for dads. We know that a mother plays a vital role in the early development of our children, especially those first 3 years. That's a given fact in the world of psychology and stuff. But we've got to remember that dads are still important too. I heard this idea many years ago. Dobson says it in his book, the one on bringing up girls. And he's talking about, you know, how mom is so important. But then he says we can't forget the dads. And he says the best thing that a dad can do for his children is to love their mother. You're still present when they're little. You're praying for them too. You're having playtime with them too. But at that first couple years, you're face to music. You're not as important as mom is. It's just the way it is, the way God made us. He says around 3 years old or so, especially the boys, when they're around 3 years old, the boys start following dad, copying dad, wearing the same clothes you do, doing the same mannerisms, you know, playing with play toys, with play tools, because dad has tools that he builds stuff. Okay? But he says again, always, and that's always from the time they're this big till maybe they're this big. It doesn't matter. He said the best thing that a dad can do for his children is to love their mother. So dad, it's our job to make every day Mother's Day. That's what I get from that. Not just once a year, but to make every day Mother's Day. Today's a good day to start. And I hope some of you are. What we would like to do as we close, and we're going to come and lead one or two songs, I think you have for worship, maybe three, whatever. We would like to do something for the moms this morning. Pastor Matt, Pastor Danita, and I, we would like to anoint every mother who's here and say a word of blessing over you. Just because you're a mom. No other reason. Just because you're a mom. We would like to lift you up. Some of you maybe have never been anointed before. This might be the first time. We did it for dads last year on Father's Day, if you remember. I heard lots and lots of things from dads, how much they appreciated it. And they said, "Many, I've never been anointed before, and it was wonderful. Thank you so much." And we're so glad. So we want to invite the moms this time. You know, Pastor Danita will be in one spot, Matt will be in the other spot, I'll be somewhere up here, I guess. And we invite you, if you're a mom, to come up. We want to anoint you. We use oil. Remember, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We want to anoint you with oil this morning and just, you know, pray a blessing over you today as a way of saying thank you to you. Thank you for being our moms. Okay?